And I'd ask you to help us welcome our friend Cindy S. from Oceanside, California, for our speaker tonight.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cindy, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'm a happy alcoholic, and I am full of the sunlight of the spirit right now. I've been on a roll for a while, and I finally understand it now where I'm at, that it's just that I was telling her, but I just have this peace that's just like this. I'm just high all the time. I'm always smiling. I'm always having a good time, but it wasn't always like that. It wasn't like that. You know, I'm a daughter. Today I'm a good daughter and a good mother and a good sister and a good friend today, you know, and I'm trustworthy today. And it wasn't always like that, you know, when I was growing up. I was a little cheat, a little liar, a little thief, a teaser, was incapable of telling the truth, started at a young age drinking. I would, in my culture, the families, when we get together, whether birthdays, funerals, whatever it is, we drink. You know, and we fight and we yell. And that's just the way we get along. And, you know, I loved it. You know, and if drama wasn't happening, I created it. You know? And my brothers would get me when my parents would meet, we're going to get you, you know, and I'd go lock myself in the bathroom and pray that they wouldn't come get me because they were waiting for me. And I remember, you know, as a young kid going into the convalescent hospital, and there was this one Mexican guy in there, and I'd go in there and tease him, and he'd cuss me out in Spanish, right? And he'd be laying down in the bed, and I'd cuss him back out. You know, I was probably like 10, you know, and I don't know why I would do that, but I would do that, and I would get a big kick out of it, and then I'd go to the other room, you know, and I victimized these poor old people, you know, and my mom never knew, I didn't tell, but I had a friend that knew that, and she goes, Cindy, terrible, you're just terrible, but I got high off that shit, you know, it was good. I don't know why I was just sick that way, and you know, and as I got older, I started drinking, and I started hanging out with that crowd that drank, and because I liked it. I liked the effect. I liked where it took me. I didn't have to remember nothing. I would skip classes a lot, you know, and we'd go to the lake or to the park and drink and meet other guys from other little towns around my town, and we'd go to Keys River or, you know, Reedy, whatever, the lake, the dam, and we'd drink. You know, and I liked it, you know, I just liked it. I didn't like being in class. I remember the lady that was took the roll call, or the absentee lady, you know, which she lived down the street from us, and she knew what I was doing, and then I would sign my own notes, and she always let me pass, you know. I go, that wasn't a good thing, you know. She should have told on me, thinking back. And I got away with a lot of stuff, you know, and I remember going to driver's ed and I was drunk. I remember in high school being drunk and the kids would look at me and nobody ever told on me, you know, nobody. And we'd skip class to have drinking parties at houses, you know. And I remember going to telling my dad that I'd be spending the night at one of my friend's house and take a clothes, change of clothes in my backpack, and we'd be going to a party. You know, out there in Greasy or Canary, Vicalia, whatever it was, you know, and they didn't know. And then that parent was cool because she let us drink. And I remember my dad caught something on, and he said, something's up. And he went looking for me, and I wasn't there, and they were waiting for me. And these guys, you know, I had to drop us off. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm in trouble. How am I going to get out of this? And I didn't get out of it, man. I had to go home, and I had to mop the floor, and I had a sweep, and it was terrible. It was terrible. And I remember when I wanted to start going out to dances, my dad wouldn't allow me to go, and he would tell me, he says, you know, wash the dishes. I said, okay. So I, can I go now? No. You need a vacuum, and you need to clean the bathroom. So I do that, and he says, no, you're not going. And I would feel the frustration because I always felt like I was choked at home, you know. I could never really be me. I couldn't be independent because he wanted to do everything for me. And that was hard because I had a spirit of that I needed to do it by myself, and I needed to learn how to make mistakes by myself and learn from that and pick me up. But he never allowed me to do that. And I remember one time this boy asked me out, and I couldn't go out. And I got in a fight with my dad, and I remember I scratched him on the cheek, and he gave me a look. He said, you know, go.
and I left. And I left with that guy, and I remember, and we were cruising, and I felt terrible. I felt bad because I scratched my dad because he didn't allow me to go, and it's like if he didn't trust me, you know, and it's like, give me a chance. And I always felt choked up there at home with my brothers and my dad because they were too overbearing for me. And I just, he would make my bed for me. He would do my wash for me. You know, he wouldn't let me grow. And I had to go in order to grow up, you know, and I still didn't grow up because I chose drugs and alcohol. And and I remember when I got to a certain age, my dad stopped, I couldn't sit on his lap anymore, you know, and he stopped holding my hand, and I never got that attention that I needed. So I founded another male, you know, they would joke around with me, we'd laugh, we'd drink, and one thing led to another, and drugs and drinking even sex. For me anyway, you know, I knew right away, hey, you know, this is going to happen, and, you know, I better make sure that I'm ready to do the next step. And I always was ready, and sometimes I wasn't, you know, and waking up in places that I didn't know where I was. And, you know, looking back, and like today, I'm thinking, man, that was crazy. We meet people at the liquor store, hey, where are you going? There's a party going on, let's go, you know, let's head up, we'll follow each other, and we'd be there at a house. And today, I would not go into those houses that I went into, you know, knowing that what I know today, you know, and it scares me today. And thank God, and God was always watching out for me, always watching out for me. And I never had a DUI. And, you know, I was in my own prison, so I didn't need a DUI. And I remember at those days when they pull you over, you can give anybody's name. And I got pulled over one time and somebody used my name, and I had a bench warrant for me, right? So they took me to jail. And I, oh, God, I'm going to be one of these girls. And yeah, I came in, I remember going in, and they said, oh, what are you in for? I can't remember. Oh, she's a dope fiend. You know, she's a fiend like that. I'm like, but I survived. I only stayed, I think, 2 days. And that was tragic, and that was tragedy for my dad. And I remember, I always was in abusive relationships. And I really didn't know what love was. You know, I didn't know what love was. How could I know what love was? Because I didn't really have it growing up with my dad. My family, we yelled. We fought. Nobody listened. We talked over each other. And that's just the way it was. So there was a lot of crying, it was really hard on my brothers, more harder on my brothers than on me. You know, God bless him, though. You know, he did the best he could with the tools he had. And now, looking back, he had no tools, but I had a house. He had provided food for me and clothes, you know. And I'm the one that came in, and I broke that chain. You know, I broke that chain of the two, that bondage that freed me and my family for where we are today. And I remember getting in an abusive relationship, and then I found out I was pregnant. And I was so mad, I started stalking my stomach because I didn't want this child, because I knew I was going to be left alone to raise this baby that I had. And I went home and I told my family, and they all came together and they said, we're going to help you. You know, we're going to help you. And they did. But I was still in my addiction, and I couldn't stop drinking, and I drank through my pregnancy. You know, and I used through my pregnancy, and I knew that, right, if I had to go get tested, I would stop. I would stop and go, well, my test is going to be clean. And sure enough, it would be, you know. And one day I had my son with me, and I called home because he had fallen, and I was too drunk and too, you know, like this. I saw blood coming, but I couldn't take him. I couldn't get up and take him to an emergency room. I just couldn't. I was telling everybody else, you take them. You take them. Because I couldn't take it. And there was more drugs and drinking. I want to have that. I don't have no business taking them to the hospital. And he didn't go. You know, and I don't know what, I can't really remember, but he's got a scar on there. And to this day, he really doesn't know. And he says, there's no really need for me to tell him, because what good is that going to get for me? It's not going to do him any good to know what it is. But, you know, if he ever needed to know, I would tell him. And my brother called CPS on me, and the CPS, the sheriff, came and arrested me again and took my son away from me. And there's a lot of fighting. Nobody knows. I didn't have no coping skills when I was with my family, and I didn't know any coping skills. You know, we had none. We didn't sit down and talk. We never talked. There was yelling, and I remember going in there, and my brothers were mad, and they ripped the Reyes out of my arms, and my other brother slapped me, and I remember just being going, you know, like dizzy. And so they came in, they took him, and they gave him custody. My mom had custody of my son. And he started calling her mom, and she said, does this bother you? I said, you know, no, not at all, because, like, you know what, right now you are his mom, and you're the role model that I can't be. You know, I can't be a mom right now, and I put myself in several rehabs. And I finally went into a six-month rehab county, and it was an old motel. And the guys were on this side, and the women were on this side, and I lived with the women from the streets. You know, it wasn't no rich hotel, I'll tell you that. And we had to call each other. We had meetings. And I remember they would check and do bed checks, and they came and they said, well, whose bedroom's this? Whose bed's this? And of course it was mine and somebody else. And whose bed's that? Mine was all messed up. It wasn't like an army style. And she tried to, you know, put me down in front of all these women because I didn't know how to make a bed. And I just, well, I don't teach me. You know, teach me how to make the damn bed then, you know? And that was a awakening call for me, but yet still I didn't get it. I still didn't get it because, see, I still have one more. I still have one more. I just, you know, I need to do it a little better and think this through. And every time I thought that I had it, and when I'm getting in Cindy's way, Cindy always has trouble behind her. Cindy always has the cops after her, or, you know, everybody started closing the doors, and there was no doors open for me anymore. I burned my bridges with my family and my brothers, and it took a long time for me to gain relationships and trust, with one brother's barely coming around, and I have 27 years of sobriety. And I thought everything's going to be well when I get 6 months. And I was talking to somebody, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. I said, well, come on, you see how I'm doing now? I said, you know, come on, give me some back, give me some love. And all year, And it took 5 years, You know, and it finally, and then when you read the family afterwards in that chapter in the big book, it talks about that. You know, I didn't look what I did to them. I was just looking all about me because I came in as a victim. You know, everybody hurt me and abused me and didn't love me, couldn't take care of me. It was all about Cindy and full of anger, a lot of issues, a lot of baggage. I didn't know how to have a good time. I couldn't be a friend. I couldn't ask for help. I had no life skills. I didn't know how to love. I had no higher power in my life. No God, nothing. Nothing. And that's a lonely place to be. A very, very lonely place to be. And when I walked in through those steps, I mean, through those doors, they said, this is going to change your life, Cindy. It's going to change your life. And I'd be putting my head on the table and, like, hung over, and I'd keep going back to the same meeting and raising my hand. Because I could go to different meetings and get the 30 days and come back, right? That's how sneaky this is. But I couldn't do that because there were the people that loved me, and they showed me a better way of life until I fully surrendered. And I didn't know what surrender was. You can't give up. I can't give up. Because I didn't even know what giving up was. Until you're finally beaten and down and had enough. And I think it was the time that I had rented my car out. And I couldn't find my car. And I hadn't been home in 3 days. And I called my dad. And I was so high, and then I took some pills to calm down by the time he picked me up. And then the cops took me to the emergency room. And I was there on the table laying down. And my dad was by the sink. And, you know, this man that's like 6'2", you know, 250 pounds, he bent over the sink and he started crying. He started crying. He says, my baby girl. He says, his hands were like this, you know. And I just looked at him and I had no feeling, you know. I had no feeling because I didn't know how to feel. Because you know what I do? I numb it. I know that I don't want to feel. I don't want to feel when I'm happy. I don't want to feel when I'm sad. I didn't want to. Because all the stuff that I did would come back when I get sober. And I remember what I would do and what I did. And I started getting on my knees and asking God to lead me and help me. And, you know, I'm hoping tonight that I can reach some of these newcomers and some of you that are on the TV Totter. And
through my experience and my strength and what I've done. And maybe you don't have to go as far as I did, you know. We all have yes in this program. You know, we all have yes. Anyway, moving forward, my son was born healthy. He's good. He's 32 now. I have a daughter who was born in 25 now. She's born in my sobriety. I started coming to meetings. Am I liking the meetings? I started adjusting myself to the principles of the spirituality in the program and the tradition. And it says that I can keep coming back. All I have to do is, you know, say that I'm a member, right? There's no dues, you know. They didn't cram God in, down my throat, you know, and I had to let go of all those old ideas, everything that I was taught when I was young, and I had to learn new information, have a new God of my understanding who's loving and caring and forgiving. And he walks with me today, and it's such a beautiful journey. I can't explain it. It's just beautiful. And I'm there when I say, life is good. It's so good. And I stay in that circle because I love giving back. I love helping women, and I get those young men too, and I go directly to the men I know. Come, I need help cleaning the table. You know, I get them the service right away. And I can come off real strong. And you know what? I'm glad I do, because this is life and death. And if you want to live, stay here. And if you want to die, there's the door. You know, if you want to have a better life, stay here. You know, follow directions, do the requirements that are listed here, and you will find a better life. I'm telling you, you will. I did. And so anyway, it was going to these meetings, and I saw this guy. This is how I met my husband. And I asked my friend, I said, who's that guy over there? She goes, I don't know. And back in those days, we would go up there and get each other's phone number, you know. And we wouldn't have a phone list. We'd have to go introduce ourselves and get a ride home. So I tapped him on the back, and he turned around, and I said, hi, I'm Cindy. Can I get your phone number? So he gave me his phone number, and then I called him back, and I said, hey, I'm going to have a barbecue. Want to come over? And he goes, well, who's going over? I said, well, nobody, you. I don't want to know anybody. I just want to know who you are. You know, too many people, you know, then we can't talk. We can't have this, you know. And I don't know if I scared them because I come off too strong, you know. But anyway, we ended up getting married. And, you know, he's been married 24 years. And he's a beautiful man. And we're total opposite. He's just, you know, everything has to be like this. Cindy, where's your sock pattern? I think it's in the first drawer. Well, no, it's a mix of everything else. When we'll be the third one. My sheet's all over the place, right? And that's how my life was. You know, all over the place. I'm all over. But today I'm not, and I'm going to read some of the big books. I really want to get into the recovery part and the spirituality. This is page 300 out of the big book. This says, the fellowship I found in AA enabled me to face my problem honestly and squarely. I couldn't do it among my relatives. I couldn't do it among my friends. No one likes to admit that they're a drunk, that they can't control this thing. But when we come into AA, we can face our problems honestly and openly. I went to closed meetings and open meetings, and I took everything that AA had to give me. Easy does it for things first, one day at a time. It was at that point that I reached surrender. I heard one very ill woman say that she didn't believe in the surrender part of AA program. My heavens, surrender to me has meant the ability to run my home, to face my responsibilities as they should be faced, to take life as it comes to me day by day and work my problems up. That's what surrender has meant to me. I surrendered once to the bottle, and I couldn't do these things. Since I gave my will over to AA, whatever AA has wanted for me, I've tried to do the best of my ability when I'm asked to do and go out on a call. I go. I'm not going. AA is leading me there. AA gives us alcoholics direction into a way of life without the need for alcohol. That life for me is lived one day at a time, letting the problems of the future rest within the future. When the time comes to solve them, God will give me strength for that day. And I'm going to talk about the strength in AA and the AA, the unity of the group. The group is a very important thing, because when stuff happens in the family or in your life, we have that group and we have the tools to go by. I have a brother that died from this disease. He had 15 years and he went back out.
And my dad was sitting with me, you know, and he looked at me and he was in so much pain. He says, Mija, he says, how come your brother couldn't get it? He goes, why did he have to die? Why? I said, you know what, Daddy? Because some of us have to live. Some of us have to live in order for some of us, you know, to die. And he lost his wife, his kids, but I'm supposed to go first, but that's not the way it was written. You know, my brother never, and toward the end with Tom, he'd be relapsing and calling me up, and I'd be mad at the disease more than I would at him. And the last time that he called me before he died, he was at my dad's drinking, and he broke the table, and I said, just make it right, brother. You know, just do what's right, make it right for him. And he did. And he ended up dying. His boys found him, and he died in his room, and there was bottles all over the place. You know, so for me, this is real, and it touches a lot of places, because I've seen a lot of people come and go, and very rarely do you see a person that gets 5 years and stays around. You know, we just go through it. I don't get it. And so that has taught me that I'm always in service. I'm always in service. I've got to help that newcomer, because I want to give her hope. I want to give her hope like I have. You know, I want her to have a better life. I want her to know that she can get her children back. You know, that she can get the job. She can get that house back, you know. So I want her to know that she can be responsible again. You know, that life gives me meaning. You know, you'll see amongst you a host of friends in this fellowship. And it's beautiful. You see the smiles in people. You see God. I see God in this room. I can feel him. You know, look at this there. I get the goosebumps. You know, and it's not from my man or anything. It's from the meeting. Right? Thank God. It's just beautiful, you know, and I'm real passionate about AA, and I'm so happy to see everybody, to come back home. You know, keep coming back and wear it with a smile and always have God walking with you. And if you're struggling with that higher power, you know, ask, you know, borrow mine. Let AA be your higher power. You know, and I'm always there willing to say, if you don't want me to sponsor you, then let me work the steps with you. Let's do it together. You know, let's just do this together. And I remember when I was coming in, I didn't want to hang out with strong women in AA because they're going to call me on my stuff. And I can't BS them. They're going to call me on it. And, you know, I need that. And I came in as a hard woman. And I was hard. I had a bad mouth, a bad attitude. And you couldn't get near me. I was cold-hearted. And you know what? Today, that rock that came in with all the jazz, you know, I'm more like a stone now. You know, it's smooth. It's smooth. I want to be that softer woman, that a more caring woman. I want to be that woman of God that when he wants me to be, to pass his message, to pass the message that's in this book right here. It's in this book. It's so beautiful. I'm telling you, it's so beautiful. Give it a chance. You know, call me, get these other women's and men's phone numbers. I mean, it's so beautiful to see these people that come here and over there. Just shout out to those three ladies over here that came. I used to go to their house, you know, and we used to have meetings, you know. And they were, I remember Jay having her operation on her leg and her ankle. And I'd go over there and unannounced. I love that. Unannounced. Blow a glass. I put my team book. You know, and I've made a lot of good friends here. We've gone on retreats. I remember going with Arlene. Remember Arlene? And we got to know each other at a different level, right? And Kathy, everybody here, you know? It's just it's a better way of life. Keep coming back and... Oh, how am I doing on time? Wow. I'm good. Is there any questions or anything? Oh, and you know what, too? Okay, this is what happened, too. So I met Bob, right? So Bob moved me away from my family. You know, the car like they have in the movies, and I'm crying, and I'm like, where am I going to visit my dad? My dad's going around, he's going to hit Bob, right? We had this thing with Bob, and I remember my dad couldn't hit Bob for something. And it put me in the middle. It put me in the middle. And my dad would come visit me in Santa Maria, but he couldn't. He wasn't allowed in my house because he disrespected my husband. You know, he disrespected my husband, and until he could make amends and bury that stuff that he had,
he wasn't allowed in my house. And that was really hard, and that it put a strain on my mom and his relationship. But see, my husband comes first now. You know, I married my husband, and he's my family. I have my family, my brothers and them, but they're second. My husband is first. And then my kids, now my kids are gone, it's my husband again. And I've learned to do that in AA. He comes first. You know, he's my soulmate, it's him. Because at the end of the day, who do I have? Him and God. And he has me. You know, we got each other's back. And so my dad made amends. He made amends. And I remember when my mom died, she was going to a hospice. And you know, you always see all these families going through the stuff, right? The turmoil and the yelling. Well, it hit my family too, and it happened there too. And we had no coping skills on how to do that, because when death knocks on the door, and if you don't have that spiritual connection, this stuff's going to happen, and feelings are going to come out, and words are going to be exchanged, and that's what happened in my household. But my mom said, you know, sweetheart, she said, I was laying with her one day, and she says, what's wrong? I said, I'm going to miss this. You know, she goes, what's this? I go, me and you, right? You're laying down in bed again, and me kissing you and smelling you. I go, I know where you're going, but I'm going to miss this. You know, and she had a tear in her eye, but that was beautiful. It was so beautiful, and I remember holding her, and she was falling out of my hands, and I was on my knees and asking God, you know, give me the strength, give me strength to take care of my mother, to be here for my mother right now, and my father. And that was the hardest thing I had to do, but it was, again, it was the most rewarding thing I had encountered, too. Because if I was drinking, I couldn't do that. Are you serious? Because my grandma would be in the hospital, and I'd go back out drinking, and I couldn't even walk in past the door to go visit her, because it hurt so bad. But today, you know, I can embrace those feelings that hurt and turn them into positive. Something positive, you know, because I know when I opened the window, her heart, her soul flew out, and there was a little hummingbird there. And it's beautiful. So every time I see a hummingbird, and if I play certain songs, you know, I'm driving home, and I'll play certain songs like Tower of Power or something like that, and my brother comes in my head, and I keep driving around because it's his time with me right now. And the same thing when my mom would come in, and I'm driving around because I'm not ready to go home yet and share this, right? And I'm crying, and I'm saying, you know, right on, you know, I'm singing and I'm enjoying the peace that it brings to me, and I can do that, and I know where to go today. When I'm driving home, I know how to get home. I don't end up in another home that I'm not trying to get in and they're calling the cops. It just believe me and trust me that when I say where I came from and where I'm at today, this journey has been tough. This is the toughest thing I've ever had to do is stay sober. The toughest thing I ever had to do is to learn to give of myself, of my time, you know? Because, see, I'm too important. You know what I mean? You're wasting my time. You know, get it done in 1 minute in here because I got to go. I had to learn to be a better listener. I had to be that channel that they talk about on page 99 on the 12 and 12. The channel. A peace, you know, I have to be that channel. I choose to be that channel today. You know, I choose to. You know, I got a good relationship with my boss at work. She was having a bad day the other day. She was standing right there. I said, what can I do for you today? How can I make you happy? You want me to go get you some coffee? I'll go get you some coffee. What can I do for you to make you okay? And she's like, and I'm going, well, whatever it is, I'll do it for you. What do you want me to do? And she goes, thank you, Cindy. I would have done that before. Are you kidding? You know, I'm making burritos for all the guys there in the store, and I'm calling, hey, come over here, get some burritos for you guys. And, you know, they're all happy, and, you know, and I have opportunities today that have taken me to places that I wouldn't have if I was still drinking. You know, Bob and I have been to Fresno. We came to Santa Maria. Then we moved to Arizona for 8 years. Then we came back for 4.5 years. And then we moved during COVID to San Diego. And I'm on this journey. I go, yes, let's do it. Because I like change. I like to meet new people. I like to get up new meetings. And in this past year, I've really grown. I have really grown more. You know, and we're going to get together. Me and this gal are getting together, and we're going to have some of these ladies that are struggling, and we're going to make give it baskets. I mean, the boxes, God boxes, or let it go boxes in jars. We're going to make them and decorate them and have a meeting and a luncheon. So we can all community together and fellowship and give them strength and say, you can do this. You can do it. You got this because I got it. You can do it. And I'm telling you, you know, I got out of school early because my mom said, you better leave because get out in January because then I was skipping too much. And so I ended up going getting out. But my life always consisted of chaos and drama. And today, it's God because I choose to call him God. It's the feet that he's given me, these feet to walk a right path. You know, I fight off sometimes, you know, and he gets in the way. But I know, and I have the tools today to move out, you know, and put God. And I'm at work, and I like to be in the front because I don't see what's going behind me because it's none of my darn business what's going on there. Because before I had every, I like to control everything. I'm a control freak. You know, and I don't have to do that today. I can stay in my own lane and mind my own darn business, and life is good. So, thank you, everybody. I love everybody.
All right. Let's do another round of applause for Cindy.